Keith Urban fans, stick around to the very end of the podcast. We have a really awesome interview with Keith all about the new album. We'll talk Nicole Kidman, a gift somebody super famous gave him, and much, much more. Again, that's at the end of the podcast, about 15 to 20 minutes of Keith Urban time for you.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba.
He sounds so excited.
They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind.
So they have an extra one.
And that's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Yes, it's back, kids. The podcast. Episode 201, correct?
Yeah.
You know how I knew that? Because the force is strong with this one.
Looking for some gold.
Yeah. Oh, the gold. I'm sorry, man.
Man, this is like the fourth week in a row.
I know. Well, because I'm slipping.
Whoop. Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
Derek heard the new Kanye for the first time because of us, and he, again, had a great reaction.
Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
I love when he goes,
The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Whoop dee.
That's so great.
What is going on with Kanye? I see stuff about Kanye now. I don't really understand what's going on.
He has just...
And I do care.
He's just been going like crazy. Like he honestly doesn't care what anybody thinks anymore. He doesn't care what Republicans think. He doesn't care what Democrats think. He doesn't care what white people think, what black people think, what Asians think, what Hispanics think. He doesn't care. He's just like, I'm going to say what's on my mind. First thing that comes to mind, tweet. And then he just does it.
It's like Trump.
Very Trump-like. And ironically, they're buds. You know, they're like Twitter buddies.
No.
Slide into their DMs and be like, oh, what's up? Oh, let me show you this. Here's my new song, Trump.
Whoop. Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
That's so great.
That, by the way, is the best song I've heard in years. You know me, man. I like silly stuff. I like things that don't make sense. And I just, the whoop dee dee scoop poop song is great. It has no words. Any song that has no words and you just talk about scoop and poop.
It's right up your alley, huh?
Poop, scoop, poop, man, totally.
That's for you.
It's for me. Thank you, Kanye, for making that song for me.
How many times have you seen Star Wars?
Hundreds. Hundreds of times. Yes, yeah. Like,
do you know how many hundred is?
I do know how many 100 is. Let me explain. I've had laser discs back when laser discs were a thing. Yeah. I had VHS tapes. Not only you got the VHS tape, then I got the widescreen version of the VHS tape. Then I got, and this is like when they would do the trilogies and the singles. Then I got the silver edition, whatever that was. Then I got the renewed versions when they redid them. Then I got when I went to the movies to see them all when they re-released them. I saw that, and then man, I'm serious. I have seen the original Star Wars hundreds of times. Okay. And then, like, when my kids were little, I used to play Star Wars when they were, like, you know, toddlers. That way, it would be something very familiar with them as they got older. They'd be like, oh, yeah, that was my movie when I was a kid. So they were like me. They grew up with Star Wars in their life. And you know, I just kind of indoctrinated them.
Which episode is the one when they introduce Gandalf? That the Empire Strikes Back?
Whoop.
Whoop.
Fellowship of the Ring.
I can't remember. It's one of those.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
Frodo.
I like Star Wars, your father. Fine, but, you know.
Yeah, that's how Big D thinks he's going to make fun of the whole May the 4th thing. He's going to make a Lord of the Rings joke. That's what you came to the table. You that's set me wrote. Up. How many times have you seen the movies? Oh, which one has Gandalf? That's your whole thing was a setup just so you could throw that at me.
Man, I had to break this to you, but no, I was fast enough to come up with that as you were talking.
Wow, you got good stuff.
Yeah, that's really.
I was.
About making fun of Bubba for being a nerd, but you got to come a little harder than a
Which
Gandalf.
One Gandalf?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Bubba, you are terrible human beings, and I enjoyed today making fun of Bubba for his nerdyism.
It's geekism. There's a big difference between a nerd and a geek. A nerd is, you know, the little guy with the glasses with the tape on it and all, like from the typical old, like, 80s look. And a geek is somebody who's just a fan of something and they get geeked out about it.
Are we defining nerds?
Yes.
It's a slow day.
Well, he brought it up. He confused the two. And there is a difference.
No, I disagree. Your definition of nerd is wrong.
Okay. I love Doctor Who and I love Star Trek and Star Wars
nerd.
And I love Lord of the Rings and I love all this stuff, you're saying that's nerdy and not geeky?
Yep.
Completely wrong. You are wrong.
Nope. I go with the Chris Hardwick definition of a nerd, which is somebody who loves something so much that they want to learn all the information there is to know about that thing and then use that information as a weapon against other people.
Good point.
You can be a music nerd, you can be a Star Wars nerd, you can be a sports nerd, you know, you can be any kind of nerd. I am a country music nerd. I love it.
What is a geek?
I don't know. To me, a geek is the guy is exactly what he described a nerd as. The guy with the, you know, glasses and the pocket protector and all that, but
I am going now. You knew this is where it's going.
Nerd.
A foolish or contemptible person who lacks social skills or is boringly studious. And then it also says, right below that, it says, a single-minded expert in a particular technical field.
There you go.
Which then kind of goes with Patrick's little thing.
That's not me. I credit Chris Hardwick. That's he's the nerdist.
Hold on, wait a second.
Geek,
an unfashionable or socially inept person.
See?
A carnival performer who performs wild or disgusting acts.
A geek is originally a guy who bit the head off chickens. That was where the word geek came from. Carnival guy who bit the head off chickens.
Wow. They used to do that at carnivals?
Yes.
Like Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
That's a carnival I want to go to.
Yeah, they don't do that around
Trust
my
me,
house.
You really don't want to see it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, our carnivals are stupid compared to that.
Yep.
Like how
think about that's how they'd entertain each other in the medieval days. Like it'd be like, oh, and here's Jimmy the geek, the guy who bites the head off live chickens. Go ahead, Jimmy. All you had to do. You had to be crazier than everyone else.
See what you did there.
What?
Well, Jimmy the geek.
You like that? Yeah.
Nice little pun.
Yeah. Old school.
You can also use geek as a verb where you can say you've geeked out on things, or you can, you know, third person present. It's geeks. Mm-hmm. Geeking, all that is there.
Well,
as well.
I really like the part of the podcast where we started reading things off dictionary.com. That was the highlight for me.
Well, you guys are the ones who asked for definitions.
I didn't ask.
Having made it to podcast 201, Big D and Bubba ran out of content. Well, we always wanted to know how far we could go. We discovered it's 201.
201 episodes was when we literally started reading the dictionary.
We did it!
All right!
Hey, congratulations. Hey, what a run, boys. Pat yourself on the back.
Fantastic.
Man.
Way to go.
Wow. That was good stuff. It really was.
Yeah, you know, and here we were thinking, God, podcasts, that's stupid. No one's going to listen to podcasts.
You're right. No one's listening to this.
Man, I hear some bad podcasts. I hear stupid podcasts. Some people put a lot of effort in their podcasts, and they sound
like... Is it
like
good effort or wasted effort?
I've seen both, but most of the time it's good effort. Like they'll do a podcast, and that's all they do.
Yeah. Well, that's
their
like their job.
Their whole job is doing a podcast, and like they have research, and then all of a sudden they'll be talking and you hear like an actuality from a historical, you know, recording, and it'll play, or, you know, some kind of a news report, and then they come back and it's got music underneath it and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it's really well done. But I'm thinking, wow, they only come out with one a week, not because they have other things to do. It's because it takes them that long to do one.
Yeah. And we don't put that kind of work into this, but
no,
we
don't.
We do a show every day.
Yeah, it's not that kind of a podcast. Our podcast is not. There's different things that you can do. Some people do 10-minute podcasts. Some people do 3-hour podcasts.
I wish we
Joe Rogan's
did a 10-minute
is really long.
Huh? Hey, Joe, I wish we did a 10-minute podcast sometimes.
No, man, it's great.
I think we're pretty good at self-editing.
Like we know when it's time to leave. We know usually whether it's 25 minutes on whatever the topic is.
I know when it's time to leave. It's time to leave when Big D gets tired of dealing with us and he goes, "All right, I'm done." And that's 90% of the time, that's when it's over.
Here's my go-to. And I recommend this for anyone listening. If you're in a meeting, if you're like me, like most people, you hate meetings. They're usually dumb. 99% probably can be done over email, but you still have to meet or have a conference call. It's stupid. The go-to way to get out of it is, and this was a way that it doesn't make you look bad, is you say one phrase. It's a question.
Who wants donuts?
No, you say.
No.
Okay, is there anything else?
Yeah. That's you.
And when you say that, it puts the onus on them.
To keep it going.
And they really go, okay, let me see. Is there any we've talked about?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Now, here's the other key.
That hesitation.
As soon as they say, no, I think we're done.
Then you go.
You have to go. Okay, it's good to see you guys. Goodbye.
And no one is better at ending the meeting or ending the podcast than Big D. You're the best. That's what I'm saying. 90% of the time, you're the one who goes, I think we're done. And we all kind of go, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think we are done. But you have to have, everyone has their roles. That's mine.
Like right now, I'm sharing. See, this is the part of the podcast where I always get quiet. Usually a couple minutes in, I get quiet because I'm over here trying to share it and get it out there on social media and all that for those who are doing the live views. That's one of my roles.
Okay.
And see, you all don't even know I do that.
Oh. Yeah, because, whatever.
I do. I didn't know that. I'm glad you do that. Thank you, Baba.
Thank you.
You have a very important role.
Thank you. I feel loved.
But we all have roles. We have too many roles.
Yeah, we all have roles over the top of our pants.
Hey, you know what I get to use an old dad. Dad jokes are great, but you can only use them once, maybe twice. And then you got to get rid of them. But I got to use the... Dunlop joke. On Gunner the other day.
How's it going?
Dunlap?
Dunlop or Dunlap?
I always said it was Dunlap.
What Dunlap?
The Dunlap.
Dunlap, Dunlop, doesn't matter. And I said, man, I went back. I had to go to the doctor today. Oh, okay. How'd it go? I've got Dunlap disease. He goes, oh. I said, yeah, it's okay, though. He goes, what is Dunlap disease? It's so great. And you know what? I cherished that moment. I sat in it.
You knew.
I savored it. I did.
It's coming, and this is the one time you'll ever get to use it.
That's right.
You got that little poignant look in your face like you were in deep thought.
That's right.
You're like,
I was just sitting there, and I was just like, this is time stopped for me. And I was just like, man,
it's about
what
to
I'm
happen.
About to do. Like,
and then you're going to pass this on to his children.
Right. And one day he will tell that joke to his kids.
Yes.
Or in his case, maybe his grandkids, because he won't.
And so I was like, I said, well, it's when your belly done laps over your belt. And he said,
he didn't even laugh, did he? Gunner's so dry, he probably just looked at you.
He goes, okay.
I'd actually see his face. He probably just barely went.
Okay. Yes. And I laughed. I laughed for him.
Of course you did.
Because he was vacant of laughter.
And Betsy says, your podcast is great because it's not scripted. I think that is also the big difference. We turn the microphone on and rarely do we say, hey, we need to bring this up. Like it depends on if we have a guest in here, like we had that airplane that went missing. You remember the airliner? Like, that's the only time we ever really have a topic.
Did we ever find that airplane?
No.
Nope.
That airplane is going to be a mystery for decades.
So, like, what do y'all think happened?
I think it disappeared. I think it just fell out of the sky and the.
It's in the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah.
I think it landed on an island and they offloaded the passengers and they did what they had to do.
I want to believe that.
What?
I want to believe that that's what you said is right.
I think the people are still alive. Remember, they had the whole thing about all. There was like a bunch of smart people on the ship, like a bunch of people that mm-hmm. worked for the NSA and the computer hacking thing.
Something, yeah.
There's a lot of very smart, powerful people that were
on that plane
that went down that could be weaponized for other countries. And I thought, this is a good time to steal our people.
So they take the whole plane down.
Take the whole thing down.
And they land it on a strip that they made.
Like you Lost.
Yes. On an island. They get under radar coverage and they land and they unload the people.
They know the satellite schedule. They know when they can get away with it.
But nowadays, aren't we under 24-hour surveillance over satellites?
Depends on where you are. It depends on where you are.
Because there's no reason to be out in the middle of the ocean, so why waste it?
Right.
So we'll do a pass over land.
Yeah, you want to optimize your satellite coverage and all that kind of stuff.
We don't know what we're talking about.
But we sound like we do.
But it sounds kind of plausible, which is a smart word for right.
There are dozens of podcasts and TV shows and everything dedicated to this. I want to talk about what happened in here 10 minutes before we started the podcast. Which is that Bubba walks in and says, hey, what's going on? What happened in the bathroom?
Well, the bathroom, I walk into the bathroom. I haven't been into the bathroom all day today. And I go in there because I have to pee. It's my pre-podcast pee. I'm like, okay, get my coffee. I go set my coffee on the thing, get that brewing, go pee, come back. And I'm like, I go into the bathroom and it's the only place in our entire building that has fluorescent lights. It's open. It's dangling down, like hanging open.
Okay, so the light fixture thing is open.
There's one bulb missing. Mm-hmm. And then the floor is all sticky. Like, it's sticky, like in a cinema. I'm like, what the heck? So I walked in here, and I was like...
Detail was left out before, and I don't know anything about that.
What, the stickiness?
Yeah.
I said that.
I said, what happened in there? I said, the light's hanging down, and the floor's all sticky. And you guys are like, well, what do you think happened in there? The light went off.
And like, if you walk in, and you see the light fixture's open... And one of the light bulbs missing. Is missing. What do you think happened?
I don't know. I don't know what happened with the floor being sticky. I thought they were tied together.
And then you say this. Hey, I see that we're changing the light, but why is the floor sticky?
Yeah. Or just, why is the floor... What does that have anything to do with the light? The light fixture being open and one bulb being missing is pretty obvious.
Everything all happened at the same time. Do we have a sticky floor, Big D? Do we have a sticky floor ever?
No, we do.
Rarely.
I clean it. And I did clean today.
Well, I appreciate you keeping it clean.
And it was with like a bleach cleaner type clean.
That made it sticky.
I don't know, but it was sticky before. And I was like, I don't know.
Was the light thing open?
I also think, no, that was before. The light was still on. Light just went off this morning. It was fine early this morning.
I hate fluorescent lights to begin
with. You know what I think it is? I think it's that spray that we have. I think when we spray the air freshener spray in the air, it's obviously it comes down. And I think it makes the floor sticky if you spray a lot. I don't know.
I mean, how much are you spraying?
Somebody's like seriously trying to cover up.
He sprays the crap out of, no pun intended, out of that stuff.
Well, no. That's pretty funny.
Now, here's what I do. Do you guys spray the air freshener?
I do if I need it, but I rarely need it because my don't stink.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, here's my move is that I get everything hands washed. I clean around if needs be. I clean the sink up. I do all that. Since I'm there, I might as well. And if I have time. And then I use the air spray and I open the door, clean hand, open the door, I spray in the air, and then I take the door and I move it back and forth like a giant fan.
To kind of blow it around.
And it kind of blows it around, creates
moving
all these.
Air. I see what you're doing there.
And so it kind of throws it all in these.
Right.
Willy-nilly. And then I let it go. But I didn't I haven't sprayed in there in a couple of days.
All I know is it was very sticky. I mean, it felt like Cinemuck. You know, you walk into the theater and it's like,
That's what it was doing this morning.
I was like, what the heck? And this light's hanging down and it's dark.
I didn't know what was going on.
So what do I do? Confused. I walk in here. I go, hey, what's going on in the bathroom?
Okay.
Like, y'all just go crazy on me. I'm like, stop. Just give me an answer. Woo. And every answer I get, all you're doing is making fun of me.
Yeah. We're making fun
of you.
Like now. Because Well, what happened was someone clearly broke in and stole one light bulb and then left it left the cover dangling.
Yeah. And you know what they did?
What?
Their calling card. They peed on the floor.
That's it. Steal a light bulb, pee on the floor. It's the light bulb. It's the peeing light bulb thief.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, they need everywhere. A bandit in their name.
Yeah, the Pee Bandit.
The Peeing Light Bulb Bandit.
Yeah, they're trying to catch him. They have some clues.
They've set a trap where they leave light bulbs just dangling over toilets with doors unlocked.
Oh. They haven't got him.
Try to trap people.
Mm-hmm. But he's good. He is good.
Yep, that's all I got.
Scoopity doop 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 scoop. Poopity scoop boop poop.
Listen.
Whoop dee scoop. Whoop dee scoop poop.
Adam says Joe Rogan needs to come back on the podcast. Man, I'll tell you, I thought there was going to be a fist fight that day. When Joe and by the way, he's kind of shifted to your way of thinking now.
He not kind of did. He totally did.
Yeah. They had an argument about whether or not we landed on the moon and whether it was faked and all that kind of stuff. And Joe went completely on the, it's fake. It's this. It's that. I read all these things. And Big D's like, I read all these things. And I saw NASA. And blah,
now,
blah, blah.
You know, the thing that really bothers me about Joe is that, you know, he's sitting here looking. We're sitting, you know, he's in the studio. And he's talking about how he didn't land on the moon, and I'm the other way. And so I know that there are some things that make you kind of go, well.
For the record, you've kind of turned a little bit too.
And
like,
so
you're still on team we landed on the moon, but you're a lot more skeptical than you were the day he came in here.
Well, yeah, I started looking more into this kind of stuff. And there are a lot of things that make you go,
I think he was just egging you on. I think.
Well, here's what annoyed me about him is that he starts talking about, you know, the Van Allen belt and the radiation and all this kind of stuff. He goes, yeah, but you're just a sheep. Meh. You just follow whatever they tell you. You just
dude,
do it. Don't you?
When he got you with the sheep
dude,
thing.
I wanted to throw a chair. I wanted to go full on Andre the Giant on him.
So mad.
And just attack.
For the record, don't ever attack Joe Rogan.
When
that
I say
would be
attack,
a really bad idea.
When I say attack, I mean shoot him. from
a distance.
Yeah, from a sniper. He's really dumb. No,
That was a fun day though.
And the thing is that he kept saying, you know, you're just told, you just believe whatever you're told. At the same time, he's spouting off all this stuff about the facts. Well, you know why he knows those facts?
Because
he read it somewhere, and he's being told something else. Mad, Joe. Mad. You're right there with me in the pasture. Mad.
We all
and
are.
Then,
oh,
we all
God,
are.
So
how do you expect to learn? You've got to learn from someone else.
Yeah.
So aren't
none
we
of
all
us are
sheep?
Scientists doing
we're
this
all
stuff
sheep.
Firsthand.
Unless you discover it for yourself for the very first time, you're the guy who invented something, then you had to learn it. Then you're a sheep.
So what you're trying to say is that we're sheep for being round earthers and flat earthers are sheep for being sheep.
What?
Like, you know, you got the flat earth people who think the earth is flat. Well, why do they think that? Because, well, they look out and they go, I don't see the curvature of the earth. And then you have us who are like, no, we've seen the things from space. We also know that you can go around the earth.
Yeah,
and
I guess so. Yeah, in kind of a way.
So in a way, we're being told. I've never been to space. Yeah, so I mean, can't tell you I've seen the curvature of the earth. Yeah. I've been high in an airplane and I think I do. But is that just because of the height, and maybe it's an optical illusion? I don't know.
Well, now then Joe comes and changes his opinion and talks about
I'm telling
how
you, I don't think he ever really.
We did land on the moon.
I don't think he ever really was sold on the other. I think he was just.
Oh, man. He
I
had,
really think
he had
was just
so
egging
much,
you on, man.
I don't. I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, it's good radio. I get it. But I
it
think.
Was great.
I think he had so. Like, he really did some research on it. Like, I didn't know Van Allen belt until he told me. And he had clearly thought this through.
Yeah.
And then he changed his position, and now he's like, I think we do go on.
You're never, Carson. You know, Joe Rogan's one of my favorite people on the planet, but I don't think Dee will ever forgive him for that.
I would like to. I would love to have him back in, but I don't know if he would come back in, and I don't know if Dee would like to have him come back in. That was how crazy that was.
Joe Rogan is welcome here. We can do.
I would love to have him on.
Yeah. Okay,
I think it would be great.
All right,
love the fact that he's similar to us in that he's very honest and real, and it's just, you know, there's no.
Whatever it is today, that's what you believe, and you're gonna stand by what you believe.
But I also mean like I heard him one day. He was talking about how people speak, and he was talking about politicians, and he's like, "Yeah, well, what?" Somebody says, "Have you heard about, you know, Senator blah blah blah?" And he's like, "No." He goes, "I can tell everything I need to tell by just hearing them talk in front of a crowd," yep. And so played it, and they're like. And so I believe, he goes, nope.
Total bullcrap.
It's complete, that cadence, that thing that the politicians and a lot of people do, it's bunk. It makes
That's
you go.
That's the first I've heard of this.
It just makes you kind of go, you know, it's just like news anchors.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're weird, not so much anchors. It's the people out.
Oh, it's the anchors too. They all have the cadence. They all have the delivery. And that's fine. If they're all copying something that Walter Cronkite or his predecessors did, 75 years ago. But it's just.
Oh, it's so old. And I just
wish. When politicians do it in speeches, it's different because there's a cadence and there's also like an almost a messianic thing.
Well,
about
you, and
like
I, remember we both felt the same way after seeing Obama speak for the first time at the, what was it? The whatever
Democratic National Convention.
What year was that? Like 2006, 2004. Yeah. We both heard him speak in different times, different places. We both heard him say it, and we came to the same conclusion. This guy could be president.
No, I came in here the next day and said, that guy's going to be the president of the United States. And the two of you both looked at me and went, there's no way that'll happen.
No,
because
I said
his name.
I said
it's Barack Obama.
I did
Hussein.
Say that. I
Barack
did say
Hussein
that.
Obama.
I did say that.
And you know what? In 2004, 3 years after 9/11, no one with any sense believed that the United States of America would elect a guy whose name rhymed with Osama. There was just no chance.
And shared a name with
Hussein.
Saddam.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein's name.
So, that's why I said he couldn't do it. I said, but as a politician, he was fantastic.
I agree with
his
that.
Speaking style.
But I remember coming in the next day and going, I saw the president of the United States speak last night. It was scary. It was like, wow.
You see it. It's weird. When you see it, when you recognize it, you instantly, you know when somebody has it or they don't.
But
it's like, what's his name? The guy who got shot, Scalise. I think Scalise could be a president. He's got that. After he got shot and he came back and he spoke in front of Congress. Remember that very first speech back? I went, wow. I was like, that was one of those moments. You see that as being a potential candidate in the future.
Yeah. And back to what Joe Rogan said, I think they all have this thing where they just are saying what you want to hear in a way that makes it feel good, you know? And
whether it's true or not.
None of it's true. I don't believe anything any politician says.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's none of it's true. I'm saying you better be skeptical.
You like your cable TV? I did that.
Oh, my God.
They all claim to be the one who did whatever it was that you like. You like the oxygen? I made that. What about you, Big D? What do you make?
Y'all are just sheep.
Yeah.
Bah!
Carson is in today wearing our Star Wars garb.
It is awesome, by the way.
Didn't know that you were into it that much.
Yep, it's my Rebels baseball jersey. 77 on the back.
Nice.
Yep.
What is
so? It's got the double meaning for
1977 is when it came out.
Yeah. Yes. The original, A New Hope. But yes, I have R2-D2 pajamas. Uh-huh. I have.
You have a full stormtrooper outfit.
I do. I have a stormtrooper outfit. I have a Jedi T-shirt. I've got a Han Solo Cleveland Brown shirt. I don't know how that came together, but I have it. I have a Cleveland Indians Star Wars shirt because I was in Cleveland and they were selling Star Wars stuff. And I said, yep, here we
go. Gimme.
I'm going to buy it. So I bought it all.
What do you love about the movie?
When I was little, I distinctly remember going to see Return of the Jedi in the theater. And I loved Princess Leia. I wanted to be Princess Leia. And as a little girl, I loved Luke Skywalker. Then you grow up and realize, oh, no, Han Solo is where it's at. You have to like kind of.
This is just everything that's wrong with women, in my opinion. You're like, oh, no, I want the pirate guy. Oh, my God.
We want the bad boy.
It was just this fantastical world, and it still is.
And that's the difference between, and there's so many people that say science fiction and all that. Star Wars is not science fiction. Science fiction is Star Trek. Mm. You know, Star Wars to me is more fairy tale. It's more Princess Bride in space.
Yeah, and I don't even need the love story out of it, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I loved Princess Leia and, you know, her with a gun, and then I loved Luke and... It really felt like Luke could have died in Jedi, that, you know, like Vader was going to kill him for the Emperor. Spoiler alert, he doesn't.
What?
I know. Sorry, man. Didn't mean to wreck it for you. But I don't know. I think they're very compelling stories. And also, if you go back to the age of VHS, I remember my parents buying us the three movies and just watching them over and over to the point that in my adulthood, I was on a date with a guy. And I think our third date, we decided to watch Return of the Jedi. And I know all the words, and he knows all the words. And it was like,
How do you not marry that guy?
Well, I know. He had a Jedi robe and everything, which was like so great. And then he was a cat guy.
Did you realize you said great? I don't know if you knew.
He's like, you may think I'm a dork. And I was like, no! And I was like planning out our wedding, and we're gonna have lightsabers that we're gonna be walking under.
Oh my god!
And then I realized he was a cat guy. And
really? That's it? You dumped a guy because he liked cats?
Okay, no, it wasn't. It was this whole thing that happened with his cat, and I just said like, oh, we're out.
You know what? Okay.
But he was cool up until then.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'm sitting, I feel like she self-edited that part.
There's more to this than we need to know.
Yeah, okay. So we were on our fourth or fifth date, and we were out at some sort of sporting event. And So he gets this phone call, and it's his home security system. And it's like, somebody's in your house. He's freaking out. And so we have to leave. And he's racing home, and he realizes, oh, you know, I set his motion detectors on, but maybe I didn't put the cat in the bedroom. So, we race back to his house, and he pulls out his gun out of his console.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, but he was acting like it was Mission Impossible. Like, I feel like I need to act this out for you, and I'm sorry, podcast listeners, but Facebook Live. So he's got the gun up next to his face.
Yeah,
you know, and then he starts doing rolls.
Paul Blart.
Yeah, right. Oh, and he's like, Paul Blart. And I'm looking at him, I go, your cat's out. Your cat's out.
Good decision.
You said some weird thing with his cat. Just had to say he Paul Blarted.
Then we get in, and his cat is just, his cat's just being a cat, roaming around the house. And he scoops her up and he's like, oh my God, baby, are you okay? What do you mean, is she okay? Nobody broke in. You're an idiot who set your alarm with the wrong thing. And so, it was so weird how he, I get very worried about my dog, don't get me wrong, but it was just, I started looking at him and I was like, the Paul Blart mixed with the, are you okay? The cat's fine.
Anyone think Carson is... left this too early and this guy was in fact her dream guy.
I do. I'm sitting here.
Carson.
Carson, you screwed up. Everybody
Carson
say
left her dream guy at the,
If you're watching on Facebook Live, go ahead and give us some hearts for Carson left him too soon. Thank you.
Yes. Do you have his number? Can we call him?
I do. He's married now.
Oh, what?
Of course he is.
Yeah,
you know why? Because he's
perfect.
He was right for you.
Yeah. Obviously, not, but...
Do you know what she walked down the aisle to?
Oh, you know what? Who can I find that out from? No! Oh, no! No, it's the love theme when they're putting Solo in Carbonite. That's what you walk down the aisle to.
No, you know the one, the song at the end of episode 4.
Yeah, I know.
Is the walking down the aisle music. It's
But the love theme of Leia and Han, that's what you go down the aisle
to. You like that better than the love theme?
Because then you Padme
and Anakin?
Oh, I'm sorry, what? I don't remember those movies. Because they were terrible.
Actually, 3 was...
terrible.
Look, here's... No,
the last
3 was
10
good.
Minutes of 3 is three, worth your time.
Yeah, 3 that's was it. Good.
That's it. I will watch the last 10 minutes because that's awesome. Otherwise, nope.
No! Hard out.
You went a little chewy at the end there.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So, do you cyber-stalk this guy at all?
Mm-mm. No, he's actually really good friends with my younger brother. So if anything, that's how I know that like he's married and
so if it goes
the marriage may not be working out.
So that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I've but that's really okay. Like I'm cool, man.
No,
and I certainly he got married. Like I hope they do work it out.
You said it's not working out though.
That's what I've heard, but I don't know. It's
just
been...
sit back, play your cards, just long game.
Yeah, okay.
What are you saying?
I'm telling her to sit back if this guy's marriage doesn't work out.
No,
I'm not saying contact him and push him along. I'm saying just sit back, hands off. You let the whole thing play out. If it falls apart, then you're...
you're going to play the waiting game, sure.
Yeah, play the waiting game.
Send in a message and say happy May 4th. Happy May 4th to you.
Here I am in my Rebels jersey. Actually, yeah, I posted a picture on my Facebook page today. It's Carson on Air, and it's me with R2-D2, and he actually took that picture because we went one of our dates was we went to the Star
Wars. Sounds like someone's
Symphony.
Already doing a little
his digital fingerprint,
a little spy, little spy move. Oh, he'll know what that means.
That's my sub Facebooking.
What?
Sub Facebook?
You know, like people do sub tweets?
No,
is
no,
like
no.
Me?
We don't know.
No, we don't.
So you have to tell us what is sub.
Oh, dear. Okay, so sub tweeting is if it's passive aggressive. Let's say I'm mad at Patrick for something, and then I tweet, but I don't say who I'm mad at. And I'm like, don't you hate when some people.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Yes, I hate
sub tweeting.
God, it's so awful.
You know, people always show their true colors.
It's passive aggressive crap. That's what that is.
Yes, God. It is.
That's I hate the passive aggressive Facebook posts almost the most. What I hate more than that is the over the top lovey dovey couple that posts.
I struggle with that sometimes.
Oh, I do. But no, I'm talking about every day. I had a friend, it was every day with the picture or the Facebook post about the two of them.
Well, I try. Like, I'll see, like, my wife is taking a couple days at the beach with her girlfriends. They're having fun for her birthday. And, like, she had a post of her on the beach in the bikini. I wanted to say something, but I'm like, you know, I can't really say anything because if I do.
You took a picture of her boarding the plane, walking through security, talking about how much you were going to miss her while she was gone. Don't you try.
But do I do that kind of stuff often?
No, and
that,
I think
that is your past.
That kind of stuff is sweet.
It's cute when it's every now and then. Okay,
what he's saying is
every day.
This was a minimum four times a week.
Eddie Haskell says vague booking.
Yes, thank you. That's what it is.
Yes, that's the word.
Oh, God. But no, so the vague booker and the overly lovey-dovey. By the way, the overly lovey-dovey couple.
Usually they break up.
They broke. Yeah.
It's
they
weird.
They got
so
divorced.
Weird.
It was right after a string of, my wife. It's always, my wife is the best person I know. Oh, my God. Please give it a rest.
Or how seriously. About the people who post
I know
things.
Your wife. She's not that great.
And they say, jeez. Is that what Carson said about her guy she used to date?
Your cat is better than you.
The people who are like, hey, it's going through a really hard time right now. I can't say anything about it right now, but prayers.
Oh,
prayers.
Sure. Yes. Yes.
And you're just kind of like.
Especially when it's about somebody. That's when I can't stand it. No,
the hard time pray for me thing is just a cry for attention.
It's just, mm-hmm. I go in the comments thinking that I'll see what it's about.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a bunch of people just,
Hey, DM me, let me know. And then I'm just like, you know what? Not this time. You're not getting me.
Nope.
I'm not even going to pray. It's not even going to be a legit prayer. I'm just going to go. Help him, Lord. That's it.
Why don't you make a prayer like reaction button for Facebook? Just
they
give me that so that,
that
way I can just give you the prayer button and move on.
They should
on.
Have that because you have like all the different, you have the thumbs up, the heart, the laughing, the anger, the sad.
I say that if you say that you're praying for someone, hey, we're praying for you.
You actually better do it.
You have to type out your prayer. You have to type out, Lord, I'm praying right now for blank. That thinks blank, blank, and they get blank, and blank. This is great. Amen.
And actually, you do that. You leave little blanks, and I hope that their problem with
blank.
Gets solved. And you just kind of do the little underscore thing, fill in the blanks.
It is. It's the worst because I will do the same thing. I go through the comments. I do all the research because I'm like, I want to know. Now you've made me curious. Guess what? You win. You got my attention. But I hate it when they say things like, somebody will write like, girl, what's going on? Oh, I'll DM you. You put it on Facebook. Yeah.
You call for attention.
I
hey, look at me. Say a prayer. Then you better go ahead and be willing to dish it all out right then and there in front of everybody. If you're going to look for the attention, you got to get ready for it.
Hey,
and be there.
How much long? How many more dates did you go on with this guy after the cat night?
Oh gosh, cat night. Did we go on one more? I don't even. That might have been the end of it.
Wow, Carson.
That
really?
Might have been one. No, I had to see him one more time because I had to give him back a DVD.
Seriously?
Yeah, I had his Boondock Saints DVD.
So,
which also, there's another warning sign. His favorite movie was Boondock Saints. All right.
Yeah, but
I get it. You think you're some Irish thug in Boston. No, you're
not. But it's got your boy Norman in it.
Yes, I know. And okay, look, I will watch it. And I love Sean Patrick Flannery. But let's truth tell time. It's not that good.
I've never seen it.
I don't think I've seen it.
I've never seen it. I only recently saw
it. It's a very cult thingy.
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, which one is that?
Boondock Saints. It's Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery, and they are brothers in Boston who speak with very thick Irish accents, and they kind of go on this... I'm not even sure why they go on the killing spree, because the volume on the DVD was so bad I couldn't understand half of it. And then Willem Dafoe is in it, and he dresses up like a
Wait,
woman.
Wait, are you knocking Boondock Saints?
Yes!
What? No, that movie is amazing!
Oh my, what is wrong with you? It's so bad!
No, you need to watch that again.
I've tried. I
DVR'd
it.
That movie is so good.
I will watch it,
what
and
is
I'll
it
tell
about?
You both
Explain
if it's any
to
good.
Me.
It's about vigilante Irish superhero killers.
In Boston.
We already have that. It's called Batman.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's Batman, but with guns, and they kill people.
Oh, and we already have that too. It's called John Wick, and it's a billion times better than
can
anything
we talk about
else.
How great Deadpool is?
John Wick
Deadpool
is amazing.
Better than
no Deadpool to me. I'm going to say something very unpopular because everybody knows I love all the comic book movies and all that. I hope Deadpool 2 is better than Deadpool 1.
What?
Deadpool 1 was good, but after 20 minutes in the movie, I felt like somebody was reading tweets to me because that's all it is.
Well,
it's punch
Deadpool.
On punch on punch. I know, but the problem was it was overkill. I enjoyed the movie.
Do you understand
movie.
Every time Deadpool is on, I watch it because I love that movie so much?
I want you to watch it now thinking somebody's tweeting
nope,
and he's just
it.
Reading people's tweets about the movie.
That's okay.
That's
still
all
love it.
That's all I'm sitting there going, oh.
Nope, still love it.
Oh, just stop with the tweeting. That's all
I mean,
it felt
she
like.
Tweets in the movie. He's like, what, you got to finish sending that tweet? She gives him the hold on sign. Like the little Sinead O'Connor girl.
Look, I thought he did great. I thought the whole idea of doing the Deadpool movie was great. I do love the comedy mixed in with everything else. The sarcasm, the snarky, everything's great.
Yeah.
But it was too much.
No, it was
great. Oh, it was
if they would have laid back, if they'd have cut half of the lines
it
out, it would
Boondock
have been amazing.
Boondock Saints also great. Boondock Saints is great.
Yeah, one of my best friends, it's her favorite movie. And so I have to be, like, I just try to be cool. I'm not going to tell her to her Boondock face Saints that I think
great.
It's terrible.
Super great.
So,
by
I'm
the
like,
way, if you're
great.
Listening to this, it's super over the top.
You don't want to watch it with your kids.
Oh my gosh.
No kids, no old people. That's the rules. Not safe for. Yeah. People will say not safe for work. I always used to write not safe for work, kids, or old people.
Okay, did you see John Wick 2?
I didn't see John Wick.
You've never seen 1 or 2?
John Wick, no.
Oh. Nope.
Oh my God, you people are missing out.
No, because I'm sure Deadpool was on and I wanted to watch it again.
Big D, what's better, Deadpool, Deadpool or John
Never
Wick?
Seen Deadpool. Okay.
You heard that, right? The pin?
I
That was crazy.
Never seen it.
So good.
Haven't seen it. Sorry. But John Wick is great.
John Wick is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then John Wick 2.
Did you think, I thought 2 was...
2 was good.
Pretty good.
The action scenes in John Wick 2 were better. Like his gun handling, you know, mag changes, all that kind of stuff was amazing. I mean, the work that Keanu did for that movie was spot on. But yeah, I thought number one was better just because of the whole dog plot.
Yeah, and we've never seen it.
I know about the dog thing, so I don't want to watch that.
It's very fast. It's not what you think.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's exactly what you think.
But
it
it's not as bad. It's not as you don't really
John Wick's dog dies.
That's how the whole movie kind of starts. And then once it's done with that, you're like, this dude is getting revenge.
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
He's getting the people back. It's payback.
Do you know what I've never seen and I have to find this weekend is Guardians of the Galaxy.
You haven't seen it?
Uh-uh. And I need to watch it. So I need to watch it like this weekend. That's like my plan.
You've never seen one or two?
Uh-uh.
Wow.
No, I love me some Chris Pratt, but, you know, Jurassic World's on again. Sure, I'll put that on. That's enough. But I need to find those movies. I need to watch them.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Full circle.
And we're done.
That's right.
All righty.
Whoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop-poop.
Hey, Keith Urban, right?
The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Thank you again for sticking around.
By the way, we're playing the Keith a great story about Keith Urban getting a super cool gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From...
another super cool country singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all in there. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, you actually have to go to the podcast or go and download the Big D and Bubba app.
Yep,
our podcast is right there. Plus, then you always have us with you wherever you go.
Yay.
It's available for Google and Apple
iTunes, and it's free.
Everything.
Big D and Bubba app and stuff.
Big D and Bubba. Just search for it. There you go.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show. On the radio.
When?
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
It was the podcast.
You know.
I'm sorry.
Boop.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, man. Dude, I got to tell you, you know how excited we are that you have a hidden track on your album?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have been really, over the last probably 12 months, I've been saying, man, I wish people would find a way to put a hidden track back out there, because that was a thing for a while, like in the 90s and 2000s, but it went away.
Yeah.
Because of streaming audio. And you brought it back at the end of Steal My Thunder on the new album from Keith Urban. You're going to hear a hidden track, a real hidden track.
What? A hidden something. I don't even know if it's a track. It's just it's a moment. It's a hidden moment.
You know, either way, I just thought it was great. You did something. You did something on this album besides lay down some of the fattest bass lines ever on the planet Earth. but you did something that I've been begging for. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you're digging the bass too.
That's the first thing, Bob. That's really the first thing you said. We were listening to it, and you're like, "Golly, the bass lines
are sick,
ridiculous." I
wrote a few songs on bass on this record, and so that's why they ended up staying like that. Never Coming Down was written on bass, and Drop Top written on bass as well.
Well, John Cougar, John Deere, John 316 was kind of like the bass thing. I don't know, like for some reason, you've always been known for guitar playing for the public, but everybody knows you can pick up pretty much any instrument and play it. But for some reason, like the bass lines, you decided to cut free and, like, I don't know. It's like on the last couple albums, they've been just really awesome.
Thank you.
We're nerds.
Yeah, I think the last time I played bass on the track was back in 06. I did an album called Love, Pain, and the Whole Crazy Thing, and there's an album track called Faster Car that I also wrote on bass. So it was definitely a sign of things to come a decade later.
Hey, this the new song that is out, Coming Home, with the little, I don't know, we keep calling it a sample, but what's the technical word for it? Is that a sample or is it not long enough to be a, it is a sample.
Is it a sample? We've been having a big wager. I said, you know, that's not a sample. I'm like, they produced it to sound like a sample, but it's not.
Well, it's taken from the real recording of Mama Tried, and, this is the... Here we go. So there it is. That's where it actually came from. And then we just manipulated it a little bit and pitched it down, changed the key. But that sound, that sound right there, that guitar lick, was really what inspired the whole theme of Coming Home. I didn't intend to write a song called Coming Home, but when I heard that lick, it made me think of that, of being home. And that chorus came as almost stream of conscious, as a place that I know where they all know me. I got to get back now to the ones who love me. Wrap myself around you, never let you go. There's nothing in the world that feels like coming home. That wouldn't have happened without that lick.
There are more people on this album that worked on this album than did the Hoover Dam. There are literally...
Are we going to find people buried inside this album?
I have a list here, Bubba. There's 15...
We found one of them at the end.
So. Oh, yeah, we did. We did.
1,500 people were involved in the making of this album. And it's the largest... Do you know that, Bubba? It's the largest workforce effort. It's part of the new, Get Back to Work incentive.
It was Hands Across America, We Are the World, and then Keith Urban Graffiti
album.
You.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. That's exactly right. He's just trying to do his part.
The interesting thing about this is, for all the co-producers I worked with, there's almost a different one on every song, they're also a writer on the song, and that's how it came to be. And there's only one song on the album where the producer isn't the writer, but every other song was written with the producer in the room. So we're building the track as we go. We're writing and making the record all simultaneously.
I have to play something real quick.
Okay.
This on Same Heart on the album, because we're trying to figure out what this is. Is that an accordion? What is that little noise?
Right.
Yeah,
there.
What is that?
Slightly manipulated saxophone. Jason Evigan, who's one of the writers on the song, also produced it with me. He built most of the track, and I think that's a bit of a saxophone sample.
Oh, wow. I would have never guessed
I thought it was the soprano sax.
You said like clarinet.
I meant that thing that Kenny G used to play that looks like a clarinet.
Exactly. Yes. Well, you're right. I'm so sorry. Not saxophone. It'd be clarinet, wouldn't it?
Stop it! What are you doing?
You're making Patrick right, and now we'll never hear the end of it.
Did y'all have that set up or something?
No, I love it, though.
So it is a clarinet.
It's something.
A clarinet. Yeah.
Technically, it's a synthesizer made to sound like something else.
It's a great song. I'm just going to tell you. The album is so good.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, that song, it's interesting. I was hearing that song the other day, and I thought, gosh, that could have been done by Black Hawk. Back in the day, it's definitely cut from that Restless Heart, Black Hawk kind of cloth.
Wow, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Pull that. You playing right there?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think Black Hawk. You guys name
I hear Larry Stewart in Restless Heart. That's
100%. Do you feel? I mean, you got so many people that like you bring. You bring a lot of artists that maybe people don't know onto songs, and you put them on a Keith Urban platform. Do you kind of feel is there a sense of responsibility that you feel as kind of a, you know, you're the established, you know, you're Keith Urban. Do you kind of feel like, hey, I want to do this to give back, kind of a thing?
No, I just seek out any kind of collaboration that interests me. I mean, if something inspires me, I just move closer to it. That's really what it is, musically, personally, whatever it is. I lean in. I mean, I worked with people on this record because I was interested in them. You know, Cassie Ashton, who's a new artist, is on a song called Drop Top, and this song was written about three girls going to Coachella in a drop top Jeep. And I needed a girl for the chorus, and Cassie was just the perfect choice for that. Her voice was right, her whole thing was right, so, you know, that's how she ended up on the record.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah. We're going out and we're going to see the yodeling Walmart kid.
Man, do you feel the pressure? Keith, do you feel the pressure of the Walmart yodeling kid taking over?
Yeah.
No, you need to hit me to that.
You don't know about that?
Tell me about that.
Oh wow. No, so this is Kitty.
I can't wait to tell you about this.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're about to tell you about this. It's like this little, what, nine? Is he nine or 11?
Dude, this has like been around forever now.
So this guy films it of him singing. Right. He's singing in Walmart. He's singing Lonesome Lovesick Blues by Hank Williams. And he's killing it. And then he played Coachella. And then he played the Opry.
Ellen?
He's been everywhere. So this guy is, this is the next generation.
All right, here, listen. Here we have it for you. We have it for you, Keith. I want you, here, this is going to be your next collaboration, I think.
Okay.
All right, hang on.
I might have it. Check it out. Last Sunday, she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She do me, she do you. She's got the kind of loving. Lot of love to hear when she called me sweet. Dad.
Anyway, he's like he's everywhere, man.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. Oh, that's so great that we get to tell you about Walmart Yodeling Kid. Keith Urban is with us, and the album is called Graffiti U. It's available. This is where you can get Coming Home is on there, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. I think it's 12 or 13 other songs.
Which is great because it's more songs than anybody else puts on their album.
Yeah, it is, actually.
It is.
I think.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's 13 songs. It looks like 15, but there's two very small short intros to songs.
And a hidden track.
I heard a story that you will be out in restaurants and hear a song that you like that inspires you, and you just go and stand on the table and try to get it on Shazam.
Yeah. I Shazam stuff all the time because, you know, music is playing everywhere these days. You'd be gassing up your car and there's music playing, and you're at a restaurant, you're watching a movie and there's a song in it that you like. I love that song. What is that? How am I going to find out? So I have that Shazam app and I just tag stuff all the time. But sometimes be at a restaurant and you just faintly hear it pipe through the system. And I'm like, I got to get my phone up close to the speaker.
Oh my gosh.
Standing on a table tagging.
Can you imagine being in a restaurant and seeing Keith Urban? Is that Keith Urban? Is he standing on the table?
Why is Keith Urban trying to, why is he looking at the ceiling trying to find a speaker?
Well, I've come a long way from being under it, let me tell you.
Oh wow. Okay. Okay.
Hey, what's the coolest thing you're driving right now? What are you feeling this week?
I drove my Jeep today.
Yeah.
Bubba's a
Jeep. It's the weather for it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Bubba's the Jeep guy. That's as far as he can get comparing with you on
that's
cars.
Right. That's you have at least one car thing in common with Keith Urban. You both own a Jeep.
It's a Jeep.
We share that together.
Do you customize your Jeep up too?
You know, this Jeep, it's a whole long story, but Garth Brooks gave me this Jeep as a gift.
What?
That's a whole other story. But he drove to my house and dropped it off.
Wait, you have to tell the story.
Yes.
Garth says, "Hey Keith, I just showed up at your house. Knock knock, ding dong, whatever your thing is." And you open the door. There he is. And he goes, "Hey, here's the Jeep. It's yours."
So I played on one of his records, and about I don't know a month later, I hear that he wants to drop a gift off at my house on like next Monday, right? And I said, "Well, I'm in the studio next Monday." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, will somebody be at the house? I need to drop this off." And I said, "Just whatever it is, just I'll have my assistant, you know, or someone come and get it." And he's like, "No. I need to drop this off." And I said, "Well, maybe come by the studio." No, it's got to be at your house. I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to be at the house." He's like, "Will anybody be at the house?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I can make sure someone's at the house. Sure, yeah. Well, you know."
Yeah, it's kind of weird at this point.
And so he apparently shows up at my house. I wasn't even there, but he drove it over and dropped this Jeep off at my house. My assistant took a picture and sent it to me. She goes, "You want to see the gift Garth just dropped off?" I thought it was some sort of cool box or something, you know. And she sends this picture of this black Jeep. And I'm like, "Is that a toy? Is that full size? What the, is this photo trickery?" And it's tricked out to the max.
Wow.
I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, he just dropped it off and said, thanks for playing on the record."
That's so great, man.
Garth gifts are awesome. We give out Target gift cards.
Yeah, so I was like, "Hey, if I do a duet, can I get a G5?
That's great. The album.
Go ahead. I appreciate it.
No, that's super cool. Hey, congratulations on the new album, man. I gotta tell you, we thought the Ripcord was great. This is really, it is a great, fun album, and I know you
put a lot
of work into it, obviously.
And I did. It's all me. Very pure.
And congratulations to you, man. I would love to hear good things come out of good people, and this is a great one.
Likewise.
Graffiti Use, the name of it. Keith, man, it's good talking to you. Give our best to everyone.
Always good to talk to you, too.
I guess.
Thanks, Big D. Thanks, Bubba.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Patrick.
I'll do it. Hold on. Wait. I'll call in real quick. I'll be Keith Urban. Hold on.
You can be Keith Urban?
Bye, Patrick.
Oh, thanks, Bubba.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I really do feel like I got
it
my.
Kind of sounded like him, right?
You know what?
I think that's going to be a gold. I think that's going to be a gold. Bye, Patrick.